Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1974, the topic is nutrition, and the title is, Why Are There So Many Diet Strategies That All Claim to Work? I think it can be extremely overwhelming when you're trying to consider what to do for nutrition, when you hear so many ideas, so many concepts, and each idea, each concept seems to have proof that it works. So then you're wondering, well, you know, can they all work? Why is there not one that has seemed to work for me? Or you might think, if they all can work, it's a little bit of like paralysis by analysis. You don't know which one to choose, so you don't choose any. So I want to talk today about why there are so many diet strategies that seem to work, what makes them work, but then how do we find the right one for the long term? When I'm thinking about diet strategies, I am going to approach this as trying to minimize body fat, but that could be purely for fat loss. It could be for minimizing body fat while trying to build muscle, while trying to be super strong, while trying to be athletic. We are going to look at it as body fat control. But it doesn't mean that this is only for fat loss. This can be for any goal in which you want body fat to be controlled. So if you're trying to become a sumo wrestler, this probably isn't going to be the best one for you. But for everybody else, I think this will work well. What diets do for us? Why diets work? And we're going to consider this in like the short term for now. Why diets work in the short term is they create caloric control and caloric consistency. Most people think that they are overweight or overfat because they overeat. That's not actually the case. There are three main approaches that people can have with food that get them in trouble, that cause them to have more body fat than they really should have. One is going to be if you chronically overeat calories. You're consuming more calories than your body really needs. It's going to get rid of some. It's going to save some because body fat, what it is, it's stored energy. And it's like money in the bank. You know, we can say, I'm earning enough to pay all of my bills. In that case, if you're earning enough to pay all of your bills and you still have money coming in, you're probably still going to save it, right? You're not going to say, oh, I got all my bills covered. Why don't I just give away all this money? Why don't I just spend it all? You're probably still going to save some, I hope. Good gosh, I hope. But our body is the same way, is even if we have all the calories we need coming in and there's still more coming in, it's going to get rid of a good significant portion of that, but it's still going to save some. And that's why we accrue body fat over time. Now, not everybody is overweight, and actually the majority of people are not overweight from overeating. They're overweight from inconsistent eating. And what that means is we are operating usually during the day. I know people with like third shifts and second shifts and alternating shifts, you might have to kind of reword my language here to match you. But there's an active time of the day, which for most people is during the daytime. And then in the evening, we're less active and then we go to bed. So you can think of our activity is kind of it, when we wake up, it starts to ramp up and then it's super high during the day. It starts to come down in the evening and then it's super low at night. So that's kind of the bell curve, if we go back to our math days, the bell curve of energy usage. That, in an ideal world, is how we actually want to consume our calories. We want to match that bell curve, is when we're more active, we eat more, and when we're less active, we eat less. And I know that people will get away with not doing that. I'll come back to that in a second. But if we want to minimize body fat, minimize the need for the body to store extra energy, we would be giving the body what it needs when it needs it, but not more. So we said overeating gets you in trouble because you're continually putting in more once your needs are already met. What we'd like to do is give your body what it needs, but then stop. Only give it that. Inconsistent eating means most people operate during the day. They're up and active. They're doing things, but they're under eating. They skip breakfast. They skip lunch. They just don't eat enough, even if they do eat. And then in the evening when they're less active, they tend to eat more because now they're not so busy. They can actually have the time to eat. They're actually going to register that they're hungry. So they're going to eat more in the evening. So the bell curve of nutrition tends to be lagging from the bell curve of energy usage. We tend to eat after we use the energy. That is a recipe for body fat. That is literally why our body developed the ability to store body fat, was because we would have to expend energy when we didn't have it coming in. So then in moments when we had more coming in than we needed, we wanted to store that to cover those moments of expending energy when we didn't have it coming in. So that's why we store body fat, is because the intake of energy was inconsistent compared to the output of energy. So our body had to design a way to make up for that, to account for that. The third reason why people can be overweight is undereating. That sounds counterintuitive, but undereating is just chronic inconsistent eating, and it's more of like a prolonged. So they might undereat their energy output for days on end, and then they overconsume for a moment, maybe a few hours, maybe a day or two, maybe a week, and then they go back to chronically underconsuming. I have had a history myself of anorexia. I was anorexic for 2.5 years, so I have firsthand experience with that. I also have educated and kind of coached people through various eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia, and then exercise issues, aesthetic issues, a lot of emotional issues around food. So I've helped people with various eating disorders, and it can be very surprising for them to learn that just not eating doesn't get rid of body fat. It actually gets rid of muscle tissue. So one story I have is there was this younger girl I was helping. I think she was 15 at the time. And her parents came with her to talk to me. And the girl eventually said, like, she was under eating to try to get, like, skinny, like what she sees in social media. And the mom and dad were like, you don't have an ounce of fat on you. You know, why are you doing this? Blah, 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 blah. And I told the girl was, you probably do actually still have fat on you. You probably have fat on your inner thighs, maybe a little bit on the bottom of your glutes. Maybe you even have a little bit on the lower part of your tummy. You probably do have some spots of fat on you. What's happening, though, is your body will not get rid of those last bits of fat. It will reduce its caloric need instead, meaning you're going to start like wasting away at muscle tissue. Your skin's not going to grow at the same rate. Your hair's not going to grow at the same rate. Your organs are going to start to shut down. I've worked with people who had to go to the hospital due to under eating for organ failure and organ issues. So I was explaining to her that she had gotten her body fat as low as her body would be willing to do, and now it was starting to waste away at muscle tissue and starting to reduce caloric usage, not giving up the last bits of body fat. So as I taught her about that, we started eating more, exercising more, and she eventually found a happy place with food, and it helped a lot. But it was interesting for her to learn that under eating can actually result in you still having, like, being overly fat, because you're not really accruing fat as much as you're losing muscle, and your body composition still looks suboptimal, usually less than what people want it to look like. So those are the reasons why people can be over fat. They can overeat, inconsistently eat, and actually undereat. If you take whatever a person is doing and you put them on a diet that creates consistency and brings their caloric intake kind of more into a closer healthy realm of ballpark, meaning it doesn't even have to be exact, but if they're chronically overeating and you bring them down some, you're going to see some progress. If they're chronically undereating and you bring them up some, they're going to see some progress. So if you get them somewhere from where they are to the healthier amount of calories, and then you have that consistent, that's going to help. They're going to start to see results. So people who overeat, if you bring their calories down and their calories are now more consistent, they're going to see fat loss. People who inconsistently eat, if you get them to have more consistency from day to day, that's actually going to start to normalize what they've been doing, and that'll equal fat loss. If somebody's been under eating, you probably have them elevate their calorie intake, their average intake, and have that normalize to be more consistent from day to day, and they start to lose body fat. So caloric consistency and getting within a closer to appropriate caloric range will result in progress for people who overeat, inconsistently eat, or undereat. And almost any diet strategy will include that process. It will include normalizing a near healthy caloric range, and it'll create some consistency. Now, there are some diets that don't do that. There are diets where you take shots, like HCG shots, you eat only 500 calories a day. The side effect of the HCG is you don't have hunger. But long term, that's not going to be work because you can't keep taking the shots forever. You can't sustain off 500 calories forever. So eventually that goes away and you do have to normalize and find a healthier routine. So the idea of diets is to reduce the extremes of deficits and surpluses. So that way the body has less need to store new body fat and can actually be okay with letting go of some of the existing body fat. So small deficits is kind of where your body will lose body fat. So we want to control our deficits to just a small, consistent amount, and then make sure that our surpluses aren't too large in comparison. We're really trying to, that bell curve of energy usage, we want our bell curve of nutrition intake. If you're trying to sustain the body fat, like a lean body fat that you have now, you want it to match. If you're trying to bring your body fat down, your bell curve of caloric intake might be, say, 10% less than your caloric usage, a nice controlled amount that equates to a little bit of fat loss every day for a long period of time, but not so severe that the body protects against it. That's essentially what we're looking for, is we're looking for diets that will help to create more consistency in your habits. Now, that is what all diets will do, but the challenge is all diets do it in a different way, and the challenge is finding the approach that fits your lifestyle. So how you create that consistency becomes a challenge for most people. For example, intermittent fasting. This is where, and there's a lot of variations I've seen of intermittent fasting that people will still call intermittent fasting, but there's like 7,000 variations. In general, and this, I know that there's, you know, different variations, but in general, intermittent fasting is rather than eating kind of all day, like when you wake up to when you go to bed, you kind of eat multiple meals throughout the day. Intermittent fasting is you're going to go a period of time purposely not eating, and then you're going to have a section of time that you do eat. It might be only a 4-hour window of the day. It might be a 6-hour window of the day. Some people might consume calories right when they wake up. Then they have like a 12-hour window of no food, and then they eat before they go to bed. I've seen a bunch of ways of doing it, but intermittent fasting is you purposefully don't eat for certain sections of the day. The challenge of that is life isn't predictable. So that time that you're setting aside might not always be available. So say, for example, that you set aside time in the evening. Maybe you're going to have from, you know, 5 o'clock till 10 is when you can eat your calories for the day. Maybe you're supposed to have 2,000 calories, 125 grams of protein, maybe 150 grams of protein, 2,000 calories. And that's your time between 5 p.m. and 10 p.m. You're going to get that in. Well, what happens if you get invited to a social event? You can definitely still eat at the social event, but now maybe you're not sure of what's available. How many calories is this? How many grams of protein is it? I don't know if I'm actually going to get to my numbers or not. Maybe it's an event that doesn't have food. Maybe you have a kid who has an evening event, and maybe they're in a band concert. So now you got to go sit at the band concert, and you're like, how the hell am I going to get 2,000 calories in between 5 and 10 when the concert's from 6 to 9:30, right? So there are events that happen that can sometimes happen during that window. You also might have trouble digesting a full day's amount of food within a specific time window. So maybe that's where this approach starts to fall apart for you. You're supposed to eat between 5 and 10, but you're like, oh my gosh, this is so much food. I get really full. I have a lot of like gas and bloating. I don't feel well afterwards. I can't sleep very well. So maybe you're like, oh, I'm just like not sleeping well because I just ate so much food. My body's trying to digest this food, but I'm supposed to lay down and go to bed. So now all of a sudden you try to switch your meal time to earlier in the day, but you have a job, you know, like 8 to 4, 9 to 5. So you're like, well, how the hell am I supposed to get 2,000 calories in when I'm supposed to work? And this starts to fall apart. Maybe you were too aggressive with your caloric kind of adjustment, and maybe your window's 5 to 10 p.m., but all of a sudden 2 or 3 comes rolling around. You can't wait for that 5 o'clock. You're super freaking hungry, so you eat a little bit of food then. You start to feel like a failure because you ate outside of the window. So now you reduce the food that you're taking in during that window. But now the next day you're hungry again at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And this cycle just perpetuates that you can't seem to wait until only the window to eat because you're too hungry before then. Maybe you started exercising, but you're exercising away from your food window. So maybe you work out in the morning, but your food window's in the evening. Now all of a sudden you have a greater caloric deficit than even before, away from your food window. So now the cravings are super high. Maybe you're not making great progress in your training because you work out, your muscles need protein to repair and get stronger and make adaptations, but the body's not getting that for 8, 10, 12 hours later. There can be a lot of reasons why intermittent fasting works well for some people, but there's a lot of reasons why it doesn't work well for some people. Think about a ketogenic diet. Avoiding carbs, basically, is what keto diets are. Is you're trying to, in the extreme case, you're trying to get into a state of ketosis where you're burning stored body fat, and you can actually use like urine sticks to see if you're in a state of ketosis. There's a lot of stuff you can do around that diet parameter. But let's say that you actually like carbs. You're one of all humans, basically, who like carbohydrates, and you're willing to give up carbs for a bit of time to help you lose weight, but that starts to kind of grow a little bit old. You go to a party, you go to a special event, you want some of the fun food, you go to a birthday, you want some cake. You know, there are things that start to happen where you kind of want some carbohydrates. The diet structure that you're using, though, says that carbohydrates are no, they're a no food, can't have them. So you end up having them because you kind of want them, but that makes you feel like a failure. Now you're like, oh my gosh, I ruined the whole diet. What's the point of anything? I might as well quit. Or what happens sometimes with people who do ketogenic diets is it can feel as though there aren't as many protein and fat options in like meals that you like compared to meals that allow for carbohydrates. So you start to have meal fatigue, like same food fatigue, and that starts to kind of get old. You're kind of losing the excitement for any of your foods, and you start to now feel the pressure of that restriction of carbohydrates, and you don't want to live the rest of your life, you know, being in food jail, and you can't have things you want, so now we start to rebel against that structure. There's so many diet strategies, and that's why there can be struggles picking the right one. Is with every diet strategy, there are trade-offs that you're making. There is something you have to do and not do in order for that diet strategy to work. So the diet does create caloric consistency, which you need, but due to the structure, you can't stay within the parameters of that diet for the long term. So maybe you lose a little bit of weight initially, a little bit of body fat initially. It seems like it's the answer at first. Then it kind of grows old. You make a couple mistakes. That doesn't work. Let me look for a new diet. And we just tend to do that same cycle on repeat, on repeat, on repeat, on repeat. It's challenging. It's very challenging to find the structure, the parameters that specifically fit your goals. Also, it can be challenging in the sense that if you're measuring your calories on a per day basis, but your body has progressed to where tracking food on a 24-hour time window isn't specific enough to create greater results. I see this all the time, is clients will have started a diet, they'll have done something, it stalled out, plateaued, they tried a few things, kept hitting the same wall, and now they come to me. So maybe they went from 30% body fat down to 22 or 21 or 20. I have a client right now who's sitting at 14. He's not been able to get under 14% body fat. He's like, what's going on? And when I look at their structures, they are timing their food per 24 hours, but the body has adjusted to that timing parameter. And it's interesting because our body actually uses food pretty much every second of the day. So there is more precision that we could get to with the timing of our food. Rather than tracking it per 24 hours, we can actually track it per section of the day. Say a 5 to 6 hour section of the day, and make sure that that's accurate to our needs. The next 5 to 6 hour section of the day, make sure that's accurate to our needs. And then all of a sudden, they start making more progress. So we can have issues with diets because the strategies and the parameters don't match our lifestyle, or the diet parameters are vague. You reach the end of what that diet can do for you, and now you don't know how to get the next step of progress. In those cases where the timing becomes kind of the limiting factor, we have to change the caloric distribution, and we start to then track our calories kind of per section of the day, like I said, and that tends to help a lot of people, and even people who aren't limited in the sense to where they reach the end of their diet. Maybe they just struggle with tracking food on a 24-hour basis because it's so many meals to remember. They get to the end of the day and they can't remember what they had for breakfast. Using that per section of the day timing is actually really helpful even before you would need it, because you really only have to track one or two meals at a time. If you think about the first 5 to 6 hours of being awake, you're only going to eat once or twice. In the middle of the day, the middle 5 to 6 hours of being awake, you're only going to eat once or twice. In the end of the day, the last 5 to 6 hours of being awake, you're only going to eat once or twice. So you really actually only have to track your calories and protein for 1 to 2 meals a time, rather than an entire day at a time. So that can actually be a really great approach and nuance to how you track what you do that makes it less stressful and a lot easier. A lot of people really enjoy that. So again, if we look at why are there so many diet strategies that all claim to work, is because they create caloric consistency, and that helps facilitate fat loss. But not everybody likes the same foods. Not everybody has the same schedule. Not everybody is coming from the same reason of being overly fat. Like we said, overeating, inconsistent eating, or undereating. Not everyone has the same emotional disconnect from food as others. Not everybody has the same emotional disconnect from being overly fat. I've worked with people who found it emotionally protective to be overweight. And that might be a history of abuse. And if I'm overweight, I'm quote unquote undesirable, and therefore I'm protected from abuse. There's a lot to unpack when you consider why somebody might be overly fat and why they struggle with diets. A significant portion can be quote unquote self-sabotage, because they're not sure yet how to deal with those emotions, and food has been the way, but it's causing the problem now. So there are so many individual differences. And that's why there are so many different diets. The general premise of all diets is that it creates more caloric consistency and generally tries to promote a healthier amount of caloric intake. They all do that initially. Typically, whatever we're doing before we start a diet is worse than whatever the diet is. Even if the diet's kind of a piece of crap diet, it's typically better than somebody doing haphazardly whatever the hell they were thinking they were doing before they started the diet, right? So diets do work initially. Some of them work initially better than others. Some of them work for a longer time before they fade out than others. But the key is to find a diet strategy that you can follow for the long term. And that's actually what I do with my clients. I don't have them follow a diet. We actually create their diet. So if the client's Stacy, we are creating Stacy's diet. If the client is Chris, we're creating Chris's diet. We're not following keto, intermittent fasting, Atkins, name 40 million other things. We're not following any of them. What we're doing is we're creating a diet for the individual. We know we have to have healthier amount of calories, whatever the healthy amount is from whatever we've been doing. We know we have to have caloric consistency. We know we want to have enough protein in the diet, depending on our activity level and current muscle tip mass. There's timing of carbohydrates to consider, timing of fats to consider. We know the building blocks of a diet. And then what I do with each individual is, how does this building block, how can we apply this in your life in a way that it fits your needs, your food preferences, your schedule, just everything about you? How do we make this diet your diet? And that's what I would encourage everyone to do is, if you're struggling by feeling overwhelmed with how many diet strategies there are, or you've tried so many diet strategies and none of them have seemed to work, I would encourage you to approach creating a diet on your own, like actually making your diet. You don't have to hire me, so this isn't a very, very long commercial for my services. We do have free ways to do that. You can go to our website, www.brutalirongym.com. You can go to the free nutrition education page. The first document on that page is titled Create Your Own Nutrition Program. So you can actually go through, listen to the podcast that's on that document, follow the steps in that document, and you can actually learn how to create your own diet. I don't want it to be something where people can't have access to it, or it has to have, you know, special permission, or you have to pay money. I just want people to be healthy and happy. So why I offer a service is just to make that process faster and easier, maybe answer some questions. So that's what if you have issues, if you have questions, if you have challenges to putting that document into like actual application, then yes, you can hire me and I can help you with that. You can hire somebody else and maybe they can help you with that. The idea is that in the grand scheme of things, the overall theme is that we want to create a diet that's our own. We want to create caloric consistency with our own food preferences, our own meal schedule, and our own degree and depth of data tracking. How do we know we're consistent from day to day? And can we do that in a way that best fits me? Like what approach fits me? And that's what I want you to do for you. So we don't want to follow a diet. We want to follow your diet. It absolutely can be overwhelming to think of what diet to use. So don't think of it that way. Don't think of trying to fit yourself into something else. Don't try to fit, a round peg into a square hole kind of thing. If you're a triangle, find the triangle diet. If you're a square, find a square diet. You want to find your diet. Don't try to put yourself into the diet that someone else created, that someone else thought matched them, or they thought matched the general theme. You want to find your own diet. And that's what I do with my clients all the time. That's what I do with myself. It's what I do with my wife. It's what I do with my family. I help everybody, in my personal life the same way I do with all my clients, is we create an approach that matches them. It has the components and building blocks that every diet needs, but we apply that to the individual. Okay, so that's on the website. Please go check that out. Free nutrition education page, first document, create your own nutrition program. If you are interested in my help, helping you kind of get that all set up and get it done faster, you can check out the services that we offer, our one-on-one services. One of them is nutrition coaching. There's no contract to it. Just meet me on Zoom, talk about what your goals are, your struggles are. I'll help you create your own diet, and then you can use that for the rest of your life. If you have any questions, if you need anything, always, always, always reach out. You can go to the website, www.brittleirongym.com. The bottom of the homepage has a contact form. You can always send me any questions you have there. We also have the podcast on there if you want to find older episodes. We have a ton of free information as well. If you need anything, it's probably on the website. And if it isn't, send me a message asking me for it, and I'll put it on the website. But I thank you for listening. I hope that you can find some ease of confusion. You can find some comfort in knowing that you don't have to fit yourself into a diet. You can actually make your own diet. And you can do that on the website, or you can do it with me. But the approach is to find caloric control and consistency that fits your preferences, your needs. Okay? Whew, good. Thank you for listening. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.